Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong, profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I am honored to share the microphone with truly interesting people. These are people who are entrepreneurs, they may be authors, speakers, small business owners, they may be virtual assistants or web developers. They are people who have wonderful stories to share, and they are really excited to freely share their business wisdom as well as their tips and actionable advice, and they've got great stories. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome Nina Mandelson to the show. Nina helps women in particular in their war with food and make peace with their body. She is a certified psychology of eating teacher, which I admit I had not heard of before, so I'm going to ask her about that, and a holistic health coach with 25 years' experience in the health and wellness field. She is the recipient of the prestigious Health Leadership Award and holds a master's degree in counseling psychology. She is also the founder of NinaMandelson.com. The link is in the show notes, and Nourished Woman Nation. So she asks, is this you? You're busy and you know what you should do, should is in quotes, do to take care of yourself, but it's just not happening. You're not trying to be perfect. You just want to feel better, look great, be healthy, and love yourself fully, body and soul. You want to feel in control when it comes to your food and your weight, but really on a deeper level, what you desire is to just feel in respect with your body, meaning you want to be making choices that respect your body's need for true nourishment and self-care. So Nina is going to help us answer those questions today, and she warned me in the green room that we're going to be talking about my eating habits, so I may hang up now. I'm not sure about this. I may have to go. Good morning, Nina. Thanks for the warning, by the way.
Oh, Denise, it's a pleasure. Well, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And please don't be afraid. It's connected. The reason I asked, I said, is it okay to talk about, you know, your relationship with food? Because I'm going to talk about my relationship with food. And the reality is we all have a relationship with food. We have to eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks,
exactly.
Right? And we are choosing food, or sometimes it feels like the food is choosing us, but that's a relationship. And a lot of people that I talk to have a challenge in that relationship. So if you think about it just like a romantic relationship, either things are, you know, you're communicating well, you're getting along, you're talking about what's going on, or sometimes you're sort of like hands crossed across your chest, I'm not talking to you, I don't really want to hear what you have to say. And we do that I don't want to hear what you have to say, I'm not listening to you, I don't really respect you right now. We do that with our body, where we don't want to hear what it has to say. And we do that around food, which is, oh, you know, I love you, oh, but I hate you, right? cookies, oh, candy, but I love you, oh, but I hate you. I wish I hadn't eaten that. I feel bad about myself for having eaten that. I can't believe I ate that. Oh, my gosh, and now I got on the scale, and now I feel terrible about myself. All of that conversation I put into the category of our relationship with our food and body, because it truly is a relationship.
Well, you know, that actually makes sense when you put it like that, because, you know, when you're, you know, first in love and you're feeling all these hormones and all the giddiness and all the silliness that goes along with being in love, it consumes you.
Yeah.
But food also consumes us probably more than being in love does, doesn't it? Because
totally.
It's something that we have to have to, you know, to survive.
Totally.
Yeah, I never made that correlation before.
Absolutely. It is a very, very powerful relationship. And I loved how you said, oh, you know, that beginning part of a relationship when you're totally in love and everything is just, like, just fantastic. If you correlate, when you said that, what popped into my head was how people feel when they get on a new diet. Oh, I'm going to start again on Weight Watchers. Oh, I'm going to start on Jenny Craig. Oh, I'm going to do the new paleo, raw, vegan, caveman, like all the gazillion diets that we're told to do, that, oh, this one is really good. We get into that honeymoon period. This is it. I love this diet. It's perfect for me. I feel fantastic, right? So there's that. And then, you know, I don't know if I'm getting my needs met. I don't know if I feel good. I don't know if this feels fun anymore. I don't know that this is really responding to what I need. I don't want this anymore. I don't like this. I'm going to bust out, right? So we bust out. There's that romantic period. And it's like, well, you know, I'm feeling a little suffocated in here. I need the rest of my life. And when we're on diets and we bust out of that honeymoon, we rebound. We rebound, right? Another analogy to think about it is this. Like, imagine, I love the relationship analogy, but let me just give you a different, well, it's actually relationship oriented. So imagine you're going for a walk with a little kid, right? And this kid is really curious about life. And they walk into a garden. And in that garden, they're running around and smelling every flower, and they run up a tree, and they take a big bite of an apple, and they run over to the, you know, the pea pod vines, and they crunch on those pea pods, and, you know, they're like literally hungry for life, you know, like soaking that in. Okay, so we got that kid, right? Now take that kid and put them in a barren room. Right? It's not like they're going to starve there. They've got, like, you know, sandwich, water. They're going to be fine. But there's no stimulation. There's nothing interesting anymore. You know, eventually what's going to happen is they're going to get first a little stir crazy. Be like, oh, I can't stand this anymore. Right? Sometimes how people feel when they've overcommitted into the beginning of a relationship, like, whoa, I'm feeling a little stifled here. So that kid is going to feel like, oh, my gosh, I can't handle this. And then they're going to want to bust free. And when they bust free, they might even go a little, I'm putting like air quotes around this, but a little wilder than before. Like, oh, my gosh, I didn't get any food. I need to have ice cream, and I need to have more ice cream, and I need to have candy. And that little frenetic energy, right, that binging quality, right, that's what happens when we try to deprive ourselves, when we try to go on a diet, one of those strict diets, and we start to put a lot of constraints on our relationship with food. And so what I propose in my work and my whole approach is to shift from diet to nourish, right? Don't diet, nourish yourself deeply.
And
does that make
I
sense?
Wanted to ask, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about the word diet. I mean, it has the word die in it, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I have never liked the word diet. It's just a bad word, just for a lot
yeah.
of reasons. I can't really explain it, but I'm with you. I would rather nourish. And like I told you, I live in the Deep South. We will hunt it, kill it, cook it, and, you know, fry it.
Wait, hunt it? Say it again. Hunt it, kill it. Cook
we will
it,
hunt
it
down,
it.
Yeah, fry it, and probably deep fat fry it. I mean, that's just,
oh
and
gosh,
butter, we cook with butter, not margarine, not anything,
mm-hmm.
butter. So,
mm-hmm.
so I have to be very, very careful because I love, love, love to cook. I'm a great cook. I always have been. It's something that I have done by instinct since I was a very small child, and I'm known to be a really great cook.
Mm.
But I also know that I have to choose my moments, so to speak. So, you know, for my morning meal, basically, I take an entire lemon. And I found this on Facebook, and I don't know if you'll approve it. I guess I'm asking you if this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I take an entire lemon. I just cut the little edges off, you know, the little things at the end. I wash it real well, cut it up, throw it in my Nutribullet, peel seeds and all. I throw in a good handful of parsley, which I grow out in my front yard. And then I throw in coarse water, and I throw in some diatomaceous earth, and I may throw in some ginger. And I pulverize that and drink it all day long. Oh, a little stevia, so it's not quite so bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, that may be my meal for two meals. But then I'll have crawfish etouffee for dinner. So, you know, I'm not doing the whole, you know, fried catfish, you know, the whole thing.
Yes.
One meal, and it's going to be, I'm careful about portions, obviously. But
right.
I'm going to enjoy the heck out of it because it's so good. But I don't go into the whole gluttony thing, which I think is a big problem for people.
Well,
have you noticed
things...
And I know you know this, after that first bite or two, you're really not tasting it anymore anyway.
Mm-hmm. It is. There's so many issues that you just brought up, Denise. It's so great. So one of the things that you said, which is so important, which is pleasure. I am getting great pleasure from my meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important. And specifically, you know, and I you said, what do we want to talk about? And I want to talk about Eat for Success. And I know that a lot of people who are listening are people who are entrepreneurs. And when I say pleasure, and you talk about, like, you know, seafood etouffee, and, you know, like a crawfish etouffee, and, you know, these beautiful meals that you cook, right? That, I want you to contrast that with sitting at your computer and eating whatever from a bag, you know, let's say Doritos from a bag, right?
No.
And while you're working. And I know that's not you, but I do know that it's many people at their computers. And that when we do that, when we don't give ourselves that moment to sit down and relax and enjoy our meal, right? It's the difference between, let's go back to this relationship analogy, right? It's the difference between, you know, just texting somebody versus, you know, and trying to have a romantic relationship in text, although I know lots of people do it nowadays, but really having a deep connection on text versus sitting with somebody across from them at dinner with a nice candle and a tablecloth and nice music and really relaxing into the presence of them and being connected, right? What we assimilate, the pleasure we assimilate, the nutrition that we get from those two different conversations is very different, right? From that texting conversation,
right.
You're going to be like, oh, yeah, great, they love me, whatever, la, 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 heart emoji, that's nice. Sitting there across from you, they reach out their hand, they hold your hand, you feel like, oh, I am really being received. I feel seen. Same with our food, right? When you're just wolfing down in the car or at your desk, your body isn't able to assimilate, to digest. It's very, very important to stop and have that beautiful meal, so that your body can digest. And let me, before it sounds like too, like, abstract, I want to actually explain the science of how this happens, because it helps to kind of get it, and it's not super complicated, so don't tune your brain out thinking I'm going to get into a science lecture. But this is very important, because we all know that stress is a big problem for us in terms of our health. Now, how this connects to stress is that we have two tracks of a nervous system. We have sympathetic and parasympathetic. Sympathetic is fight or flight. Oh, my gosh, I'm being chased by a tiger. Oh, my gosh, I have a deadline I got to get done. Oh, my gosh, you know, I just have too much to do on my to-do list, right? All of that puts us in sympathetic fight or flight mode. That's when our cortisol moves up. That's our stress hormone. That's when our adrenaline moves up. That's our stress hormone, right? So that's one track of our nervous system. The other track is the parasympathetic nervous system. That's, I'm sitting on the beach with my pina colada, someone's massaging my shoulders, I am chilled out. That's our rest and digest mode. That's our tend and befriend mode. That's that, like, ease on down the road. I'm okay. This will happen. I'm good to go, right? So we have these two different nervous system activations. Sympathetic, that's our fight or flight. Parasympathetic, that's our rest and digest, right? So now if we're in that stress mode, we're sitting at the computer and we're just trying to wolf in the food, right? Like, I got some more to do, let me just eat. Here's what isn't happening. digestion isn't happening. Assimilation isn't happening. Good metabolism, strong calorie burning, it's not happening because you're in that stress mode. And when we're in that stress mode, our body acts in a very primitive way. We may be dealing with a deadline, but our body still thinks, oh my gosh, I'm being chased by a tiger. I better move all my blood and energy out to my extremities, my arms and my legs, so that I can run really fast away from the tiger. And I'm going to move all my energy and my blood up to my brain so I can make quick, fast-acting life and death decisions. So, okay, so I got all this going on. So if all my energy is going to my extremities and my brain, where is it not going? To my belly, for digestion, for calorie burning, for assimilating all those nutrients I need. So bottom line, if you're at the computer just wolfing it in or just driving by Starbucks to, you know, or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever it is that you do to just wolf it in before you get to that meeting, we're not giving our body the benefit of a strong digestion, assimilation, and metabolism. And the trick to get our digestion back into gear is shift into that parasympathetic, right? And you said that beautifully, Denise. You said, I sit down, I have a beautiful meal, I love to cook, right? All the ways that even you said it was like, oh, I relax. I love doing this. I've been doing it for a long time. Your whole system shifts out of work mode, and it goes, yes, I am ready to receive.
It does, and I'll tell you, you just described something that happened to me last night. I mean, yesterday was one of those work days from hell. It just was. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to put it. And, you know, mm-hmm. I work from home, and, you know, I have some leeway in how fast or hard I work, but yesterday was just, oh, my gosh. So at 9 o'clock last night, I'm in the grocery store. I have a cat who is unfortunately dying. I will probably, I'll have to euthanize him soon, and it's breaking my heart. But I decided last night he needed Enfamil. You know, I did some research. I thought maybe that will help him. So I'm in the grocery store, and I realized I had a headache to beat all headaches. And I thought, well, maybe it's just the lighting. I was giving myself all kinds of excuses. And then it occurred to me that the only nutrition I had taken in yesterday was, you know, I was drinking that big big sports container of my homemade lemonade. Mm-hmm. I really had a headache. I was hungry.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought, oh, I'll just stop by Taco Bell. I haven't been to a Taco Bell in probably 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I noticed immediately is how salty. I just grabbed a couple tacos.
Yes.
Man, they're salty. The second thing that happened was I felt worse, and I felt bad when I woke up this morning.
Yeah.
So I had to drink a ton of water just to kind of work that, you know, work it out of my system.
Yes.
So I won't be doing that again is what I'm saying. I mean, I don't care
how hungry. There's a couple of things that happen there.
I'll chew the steering wheel first.
Right, but that's such a common thing. I'm so glad you brought that up. It's so common. There's a couple of things I'm sort of like earmarking because I want to talk to you about that special lemonade that you make because there's a lot to say about that. But the one thing that I want to first say about what you said happens to so many people. I was doing so much, and I didn't eat, and then I ate, and then I felt terrible, right? So what's happening is blood sugar levels are not stable in your day. So you haven't eaten enough to keep your blood sugar levels stable, and so you get a headache. You feel bad, and often what people then do is start craving. Oh, my gosh, let me go have some chocolate. Let me have some coffee, right? Something to keep me running. And it doesn't help us because we then are making choices that make us actually long-term feel worse. Now, going to pick up a few tacos, imagine those were homemade tacos or they were somewhere that they didn't overly salt or they used higher quality ingredients. Right? You might have felt just fine, right? If you got, you know, a corn maybe they had organic, in the best of worlds, right? They had an organic tortilla, and they had pasture-fed meat in there and some good, high-quality organic guacamole, right? And you ate that, you'd feel fantastic. But you go in there, and they're using, you know, not great quality oil, probably genetically modified corn, probably factory-farmed meat, right? So it's a lot of, it's very low quality. And for someone like you who's used to cooking their own food, is their, your body is running on high-octane fuel. And you are giving it, you know, bargain basement gasoline. And it went, I can't run this way. I don't feel good. I am a Maserati. I am a Porsche. I do not run on crappy fuel. I run on the super unleaded premium, right? And
right.
That is so important for us to realize that often we are treating our body like we're some old jalopy that doesn't deserve the premium gasoline.
You
so
know, that's
actually,
a really good analogy because, I mean,
mm-hmm.
my car does require, you know, the most expensive gas. It would never occur to me to try to slide something else into it. It just wouldn't.
Right.
I
because
paid too
what
much
are you
for
doing?
That car. I don't want to ruin
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I am
so
paying
what are we
too
thinking?
Much for that car. Exactly.
Right.
I am paying too much for that car. I am not going to ruin it. So powerful, right? If we could have, right, so let's get back to this relationship analogy, right? So you have a relationship with your car. I invested in my car, and so I am going to treat it well. I am going to put the best gas in it. I'm going to clean it. I'm going to make sure I do repairs so that it doesn't fall apart, right? We have no problem, you know, bringing our car in and plunking down money. But when it comes to ourselves, I'll be okay. It's okay. You know, I'll be fine. I'll just pick up a burger. I'll be fine. I'll just pick up, you know, a donut. You know, I'll be fine. I'll just pick up whatever. I'll put in that low-quality fuel into my car, into my vehicle. That is, when we think about it with that analogy, it starts to become absurd because how much time, energy, money have we invested in ourselves? Right? In our education, in our growth of ourselves, in the creating, you know, businesses for ourselves. How much have we invested in ourselves? And what will we do? What are we willing to do to maintain that investment? Right? Personally, I'm willing to do a lot. Right? Personally, I'm willing to do a lot because I didn't and my body was falling apart and then I went through a health crisis. And I made a choice. I am choosing life with every bite, with every food choice. I choose feeling good and living life. That's what I'm choosing. And so when we are stopping somewhere to eat, it's how am I going to fuel my tank? How am I going to invest in myself? And one of the most powerful questions to ask is, what would nourish me right now? What
An
would
avocado.
Nourish me? Right.
Seriously, that's what popped into my head. I love avocados.
Avocados are so, so, so good for us. And it's so interesting that you say that. I was just talking to a client of mine, and she, pretty new client, individual client, and she's also part of one of my bigger programs, the Radiant Luminous program. And we were talking about, you know, her food, and she was talking about, you know what, but in the afternoon I start to crave. So that I have a lot of different strategies for afternoon craving. But I said, so talk to me about what you're eating before then. So she said, you know, I'm having, you know, this for breakfast. It sounded fine, lunch, blah, blah. And I said, you know, are you eating any fat in your day? She was like, well, you know, I'm trying to lose weight. And I was like, uh-huh, and so are you eating any fat? She said, well, I put a little olive oil in my salad. And I was like, is that it? And she was like, well, kind of, because I don't want to gain weight. And I was like, okay, so first of all, that's an old toxic belief, that idea that fat is what has you gaining weight, right? Certainly there are different qualities of fat. I'm getting to the avocado thing. There are different qualities of fat, but we need to have fat. That's part of what has caused our obesity epidemic and caused Americans to grow bigger is that in the 80s we were taught no fat. So take out all the fat. So we took out all the fat. And what was replaced Sugar.
Sugar.
So sugar ended up being put into all of our foods instead of fat.
And that's nasty. I picked up some salad dressing the other day. I didn't realize it was reduced fat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like sugar. I'm a super taster, as it turns out. I do not like sugar. I never have. I wasn't given it as a child. I never developed a taste for it. And it actually gags me. I don't like, hate chocolate. I have to tell people, yes, I'm really a female. I don't like shopping. I don't like chocolate. But I'm telling you, and ketchup, who in the world thought putting sugar on a tomato was a good idea? I mean, seriously.
I know. I agree. However, most people are completely hooked on sugar. And one of the ways that you can, and then what happens is our blood sugar goes up and down and up and down. And think of it, like if we go back to the car analogy, it's like I have a full tank, I have an empty tank. Within like 5 minutes, I have a full tank of gas, oh, now it's all empty. Like, so you're constantly, it's like having a big hole in the gas tank. So you're constantly having to refill because whoosh, empty, because that's what happens in our blood sugar. And the blood sugar in our body, our blood sugar levels with the sugar, they go up and then they crash back down. So one of the things that we can do to create a healthy, stable blood sugar level is eat regularly and have some healthy fats. And that brings me back to you loving avocados, which is avocados are a great way to add healthy fat into your day. And absolutely, even when you watch your mind go, but isn't it fun? And that's what I said to my client. She said, but those are a whole avocado, but that's so fattening. I'm like, but if you don't eat that, will you be nibbling at everything in the house all afternoon? She said, yeah, probably. So let's experiment, I said. Let's experiment.
Right.
Let's have that avocado cut into your salad at lunch and see how you feel. Well, sure enough, how does she feel? She feels full and stable with her blood sugar ongoingly throughout the afternoon.
You know, I noticed that whole fat correlation many years ago. I had a friend who, bless her heart, as we say in the Deep South, she was her plastic surgeon's best friend. She had the, you know, breast enhancements, and she was young. You know, she was probably, I mean, she wasn't 30 years old, but she had a male friend who was willing to pay for these enhancements. And she was tiny, tiny. I mean, she was just the little butterfly of a girl. She was so cute until she went on an absolutely fat-free diet, and she aged dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
Her skin was dry. Her skin was thin. And I kept looking at her going, honey, eat something. Eat something. You know, have an avocado. Have a banana. Just for God's sake, eat some butter. Here, eat this pat of butter. Because I knew that low-fat diet was just destroying her. And it, I don't know if she eventually, she was basically a friend of a friend, but it just, I mean, within 2 or 3 months, she looked like a dry little stick with big boobs. It wasn't a good look.
Right.
So at that point, I went, okay, you need fat in your diet. And that was just observation. You know, me being a girl going, ooh, you don't look so good.
We do need, and we need it not just for our skin to look good, but we need it for our digestion, and we need it, and this is especially, if we're talking eating for success, we need it for good brain health. The way our brain, we have, you know, neurons in the brain, there's the pathway for our thoughts. And they're wrapped, our neural pathways are wrapped in a myelin sheath. That myelin sheath needs fat. So basically, in order to be able to think sharp and be making all those cognitive leaps that we need to make all day, every day, we need to be eating those healthy fats. And I'm not saying, you know, fries and canola oil and, you know, I'm talking about high-quality olive oil. I'm talking about, you know, good raw almonds and walnuts and, you know, 2 or 3 Brazil nuts a day. I'm talking about the avocados. I'm talking about extra virgin coconut oil. I'm talking about
love
healthy,
coconut oil.
Good, yeah. And to bring up, you said the whole thing with margarine and butter. Margarine is too processed. It actually acts as a toxin to the body. Butter?
It's crankcase oil. It really is.
Yeah.
It's just nasty.
It is nasty stuff. Thank you for being so blunt about it. However, butter is a great thing. Again, not, you know, an entire stick necessarily, but to enjoy butter. You know, if you're making a recipe and you're going to eat part of it and in goes a stick of butter, fantastic. But the thing about butter, and this is something else that I want to bring up, is it's all about the quality, right? So if that butter was made from milk from cows that were in a factory where they were shot up with antibiotics and crammed together so that they had more diseases and they were more stressed so that their stress hormones were high, so that the milk that they produced then was very high in stress hormones plus antibiotics, and then you have the butter from that, that butter's not going to serve you. However, the butter that comes from the cow, from the milk that comes from the cow, that comes from the farm where they are pasture-fed, where that cow is walking around, where it has plenty of space, where it is eating what it should be eating, which is the grass, and it is a healthy cow, and that milk is being turned into butter, you have a butter that's full of vitamin D and that actually supports your body and healthy functioning versus detracting. And this is very important, this idea of quality. So even if you're going to do chocolate, even if, I know that you're not, but even if you're, whoever's listening is a chocolate lover, if you want chocolate, I say go for the high quality. And this is a way to think about it. Because often people go, okay, I got to change everything. I've got to go from, you know, this, you know, wild eating and I'm not eating healthy to, okay, I'm going to go on a total diet. One of the basic easy shifts to work with is what I call the quality continuum. So quality continuum is this. Imagine there's like a line, a continuum line. And way on the right side of that continuum line, it says high quality, right? And way on the left side, on the bottom and downside end of that line, it says low quality, right? So what we want to be doing is choosing foods as much as we can that are on the higher quality end of food. And let me give you an example. So let's take oats. Right? So at the high end, we've got oat groats. Oat groats is how oats actually grow on the stalk of the oat plant. Right? So you got whole oat groats. You can throw those in a pressure cooker or cook them, you know, and they'll cook and they'll be a delicious whole grain oatmeal in about an hour, right? Slow cooked or overnight slow cooked or on the stove for about an hour. So what's in that oat groat? You've got the full grain, all the outside, which has a lot of fiber and a lot of protein. Okay, then you take that oat and you cut it up into pieces. Okay, you got steel-cut oats, tiny bit processed, but still very whole grains, very nutrient-dense, lots of nutrition coming at you. You're still eating a pretty whole food. Take those oat groats and squish them a little bit, and you've got rolled oats. Okay, still pretty good, a little processed, a little less fiber because it's been processed a little bit to cook faster, right? Because oats don't usually take an hour to cook, rolled oats. Okay, so now we're moving down. So we've got those rolled oats, we've got, let's say organic rolled oats. Then we've got a little lower down on the quality continuum, you've got regular oats. Then you move on down the quality continuum, then you've got Quaker instant oats. Okay, so it's still just oats, but it's been processed. So you've lost more fiber, you've lost more protein, you're getting less nutrients. Okay, so let's move on down. Now you've got those instant oat packets. Okay, now it's oats, but it's sugar too, and artificial flavoring. Okay, so now we've got less nutrients, plus we've got the addition of some foods that the body has to work hard to cope with. Then let's move further down. We've got Cheerios, right? Completely processed. It's going to go into your body, and it's going to be very hard on your blood sugar because it's so finely ground that though that starch is going to get converted right into sugar immediately in your body, right? So same food, we're talking about oats. What's at the low end? Cheerios. What's at the high end? Oat groats. I'm not putting a value judgment on anything. I'm just inviting everybody to look at where am I on the quality continuum and how do I move myself up, right? Same goes with chocolate.
Isn't dark chocolate, and this is, I've interviewed somebody who had a client who just took this kind of boutique, very, very high quality dark chocolate to market, and they had to do some, you know, pretty snazzy advertising to get people to pay $9 or $10 for this kind of block of chocolate, as opposed to picking up, you know, milk chocolate M&Ms or whatever they are. And I mean, they did it because the quality was so intense. But the way he described it, it was a very dark, dark chocolate. Now I can eat dark chocolate if it has a nut in it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's something that I kind of crunch into. But milk chocolate, oh, I mean, I just cringe thinking about that stuff. That's nasty.
But then again, okay, quality continuum. So let's do chocolate.
Yeah,
so that guy's high-end chocolate is at the top, right? I am his perfect customer. I will lay down, you know, $10 for incredibly high quality. You know, I know the source of the cacao. I know that there was no refined sugar, no cane sugar added. I will pay for that quality because I am willing to put premium gas into my car. Because when I do, I feel great. Right? And if I feel good, the whole world is good. Right? My business runs smoother. My client is better. My work is better with my clients. My relationships, my, you know, my marriage, my relationship with my kids, everything is better because I feel good. So then let's go back to the quality continuum for the chocolate. So you come on down and suppose you've got then, a, you know, pretty high quality chocolate, like a 72%, but then it's got, you know, cane sugar in it. Right? So well, actually, let me move back up. So that you've got this raw chocolate and it's sweetened, let's say, with coconut sugar, which is lower glycemic index. Or it's sweetened with raw honey, also not low glycemic, but more nutritious, right? Doesn't leach the minerals and vitamins out of our body the way that refined sugar does. Then we move on down and you've got some 72% high-quality chocolate, but it's got some sugar in it. But we're still pretty dark chocolate. Then you move on down, and you're moving down into 50% cacao, 40%. We're into milk chocolate. Now we're adding emulsifiers. Now we're adding little candy things on the outside like the M&Ms, right? We're moving down and down and down. And the ability for that chocolate, because cacao is very, it's a superfood. It does, it's a vasodilator. It has a little caffeine hit in it. There's a lot of good stuff that raw cacao can do for us. However, you lose any benefits as you move on down and start adding in crappy ingredients and more sugar. And, you know, just, This is totally a side story, but one of the things that I have done with my kids for Halloween, ever since they were little, because we didn't have candy in our house, or that's not true. I make sweets, but with refined sugars. I'm not about depriving kids at all. I'm about enjoying healthy sweets. We often have cakes and cookies, and I make special treats and ice cream, but it's all made with whole ingredients, real foods and natural sweeteners. But at Halloween, I didn't want the kids to feel deprived. So I was like, go ahead, go out there, get whatever you get and bring it back. And then the next day, because I was not interested the night of Halloween of having my kids be buzzing on sugar and not sleeping, we would have a taste test. We would invite friends over and first we would sort things that I called food versus non-food items. So a non-food item was anything with corn syrup, partially hydrogenated, you know, corn syrup, corn sugar, and anything that basically looked like plastic. That was a non-food, right? Something that can bounce, not a food. So we would, you know, the things that were these candies that were made to look like little cars or little this, I was like, that's not a food. It's like plastic with a little bit of like edible gelatin. It just is crazy. Anyway, so
like
we would divide
gummy bears.
Food.
What
yes.
are those things? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So then we would separate foods versus non-foods. So the foods, we would then make a list. It was usually chocolate, right? And we would list through, like, what all the different chocolates were, and then everybody would have a little tiny bite and then rate it on a scale of 1 to 5. Well, if you ever had to teach kids about high quality or low quality or this quality continuum, that was the perfect way because they'd eat some chocolate and be like, oh, that's terrible. And then they'd end up eating higher quality foods and be like, oh, that's yummy, right? They could tell the difference. They could feel the difference. So really, I'd like you to treat yourself like you're doing a taste test every day. What foods really nourish me? What foods taste high quality? What foods were lovingly made? What foods were artisanally made? What foods have not been on the shelf for 6 months? What foods have not been mass produced to sell, you know, more quantities of them so that they're cheaply made, right? Again, coming back to that car analogy, how can we feed ourselves premium?
And that leads me to my next question, too, which is, you know, I try to eat good, healthy foods. I love salads. Seriously, it's one of my favorite meals. One of my favorite meals during the day is I always have avocados in the house. I don't care what the price is. Right
mm-hmm.
now, they're $1 a piece. Last night, I bought
mm-hmm.
10 of them because I
yeah.
eat one or two a day. I really do. But my favorite meal is to split an avocado and have to put, you know, pop the seed out, score it with a knife, leave it in its skin, put a little dollop of some kind of dressing. It might be oil and vinegar. It may be balsamic. It may be, you know, Roquefort. I don't know what it's going to be. But I'll put a little bit of sea salt, a little bit of cracked pepper, and then I'll put pumpkin seeds or almonds or something on top of that. And
beautiful.
That is my meal. And it's so yummy because I can take a little piece of the avocado, dip it in the well, like you do with mashed potatoes and gravy,
mm-hmm.
get my little taste of whatever dressing I happen to put in that little well, and I'm happy. And it may take me 30 minutes. I may be at my desk. I try not to eat at my desk. But it may take me 30 minutes because I take a bite of it. I really savor it. I drink some water, and I wanted to talk to you about water as well. And mm-hmm. and then I go on. And then, you know, later at some point in the day, I'll have my meal, probably around my main meal. I only eat one true meal a day. And I'll probably eat that around 4 o'clock because if I eat later, I have nightmares.
Mm.
I mean, it really bothers me to eat later at night. So
yeah.
I just don't. You know, I'm still moving around. I'm still active, and I have time to work it off. But, you know, that's just how I found that my body works best.
Yeah. So that, what you're saying, again, you're bringing up so many good issues, which is one is what you just said, which is that's what I found works best for my body.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's listening and respecting your body. That is a positive and healthy relationship with your body and your food. This food works for me. It makes me feel good. I feel nourished, I feel relaxed, I feel sustained. That's where we're headed. And I want to say that it's fantastic that you feel that way, and I also want to acknowledge all the people who are listening who are going, well, that's not me. I am struggling in my relationship with my food. I am struggling in my relationship with my body, and it's weighing me down, figuratively and literally. I'm feeling bad in my body, and I'm carrying unwanted weight. And I'm having a hard time accepting and appreciating and loving my body, right? What we want to do is get to that place where we are listening, respecting. And that's not always easy. It's a process for
people.
No,
it's not. I mean, look, like I said, we cook with butter. We will eat anything that doesn't get away quick enough, truly. We do. We know how to eat in the Deep South. We really do. And I learned a long time ago I have to be very cautious about how much I eat. You know, not necessarily what I'm eating, as long as it's prepared by me or another cook that I trust. You know,
mm-hmm.
home cooking. But
high quality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But here's what I wanted to ask you, because people – Look, I went through the grocery store last night. It's a locally owned, locally sourced grocery store, and it's like going to Disneyland for me. I mean, the shrimp comes straight off the boat. They own their own boats down in Dalcombe. I mean, everything is fresh, fresh, fresh.
Mm-hmm.
In the kind of dark, you know, kind of mysterious part of the store, and then you get to the grocery aisles. They're all lit up. It looks like a regular grocery store. It's like, it's almost like the store has schizophrenia. You know, the bakery, which is all, you know, everything is done in-house, and the locally sourced seafood, clams and crabs and shrimp. I mean, here we can go down the street and find a food truck and buy shrimp, you know, straight from the Gulf. So, of course, I do. I eat shrimp the way other people eat chicken or hamburgers, I guess. But then you get to the other side, and everything is in packages, and everything is frozen, and I'm looking at that stuff, and it's cheap. I see that it's cheap food, and I'm thinking every single time this goes through my head, I would be better off eating the picture on the box. That stuff is not good for you. And I'm looking at people, and they're buying that stuff. I'm like, what's wrong with you? So that's not to say that, you know, I'm this all-important shopper, but it's to say that, you know, people who complain about trying to eat healthy, oh, it's so expensive, and oh, I can't afford organic. Can you really afford the damage that crap is doing to you? I think that's the real question.
That is the question, right? Eventually, we keep putting that low-grade fuel in that car is not going to run well, and you're going to end up in the repair store with big bills. Right,
and don't you eat more because it's not nourishing you? So, you know, you're kind of gulping it down, trying to feel. And this is just a question. I don't know this, but it seems to me like people overeat so that this processed food, because it really is not nourishing them, even going down.
Exactly. It's very powerful. There's a process called the cephalic phase response. Cephalic meaning your brain. And it's an amazing part of the brain that helps your body digest, right? And so it goes online when you see beautiful food and you go, oh, look, I see the food. Your brain goes, oh, yummy, food coming in. It starts the whole digestive nourishment process. Right? And if we can slow down and enjoy the good food, our body goes, oh, I'm receiving this. I'm getting it. Oh, now I'm sated. And it
what
hits
about
that moment
smell?
Of I'm sated. Absolutely. Sense of smell also.
Right.
But when we're just wolfing down that packaged stuff, we usually don't even pause to go, oh, it's beautiful. We don't engage that whole cephalic phase response. It doesn't smell incredible. It doesn't taste incredible. So we keep eating beyond what is even feels good for us to try to get to that place of, oh, that feels good.
That makes sense. You know, one of the smells that I like, I bought a bunch of really beautiful red bell peppers last night. They were 2 for $1. I'll be chopping them up and put them in the freezer. One of my favorite smells, honestly, when I'm preparing food or preparing a salad, is when I cut into a cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
what
that it is. I start peeling that thing, and I mean, it's a good thing I live alone, because I'll be sniffing my cucumber going, ooh, smells so good.
Yeah.
But you can't get that if you're eating it out of a box, can you?
Nope, you cannot. Again, high quality, right? Move up that quality continuum and really get to that place of like, oh, this is food that really nourishes me. There's my favorite saying is love the food that loves you back. Love
Absolutely.
The food that loves you back.
Yeah.
Right? You want to be enjoying food, but you want to be enjoying the food that also says to you, ah, I am treating you well.
And that makes sense. I mean, you're going to love the man or the woman or the child or whoever treats you well. Your car doesn't land you on the side of the road. You're going to love your car. I mean, obviously. I wanted to go back and, you know, you started this journey with some issues of your own. You see, I'm cleverly deflecting away from my food. So let's talk about you.
Yes. So I know so much about this, not just because I, you know, have a master's in counseling psychology, not just because I studied, you know, food and nutrition, and not just because I studied psychology of eating, but because this is my own journey. For years, I did not feel good in my own body. I struggled with, you know, eating for all reasons. I'm feeling sad, let me eat something. I'm feeling happy, let me eat something. I'm feeling confused, let me eat something. I am bored, I'm frustrated with my work, let me eat something. Right? My food was my go-to. It was my coping mechanism. That's what it was, is how to cope with life. So one of the things that I needed to do was really step on a journey of how do I heal this relationship with my body? How do I create a relationship? How do I know what to eat so that I am nourishing myself? So my professional journey of helping women feel good in their own body was right next to it was my own journey of reclaiming my own body. And that took a lot of years. And I came up with this way of working with women that really makes a difference and isn't another diet. Because my experience was I would always be, somebody would say, hey, try this. And I did Weight Watchers for more times than I care to even admit. And it took moving past the diet approach into this deeper nourishment approach, what I call the nourishment dynamic, to really start to change how I felt in my body and in a way that was sustainable, not a one-week cleanse, detox, diet, not that, but really being able to choose with ease what was going to make me feel good.
So how did you do it? I mean, do you remember what were the first steps you took? And let me ask you this, what was the mindset? Because, look, when I was a kid, there were no chubby people. There really weren't. I mean, we were all kind of normal sized, and then just as I got older, I started seeing that people were getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and now the other day I saw a couple of kids in, I think, Walmart, and they were normal size, and I thought, oh my God, it's so unusual to see normal sized children, or what I perceive mm-hmm. to be normal sized children, instead of these little chubby kids, you know, big cheeks and, you know, big clothes. I mean, it's
right.
Kids are getting fatter and fatter and fatter. What happened? I mean,
well,
I
part of what
just
happened
asked
is
you
the
two
sugar.
Questions, but
right. So,
but
well,
I was
let me just
ask
say
you
two
about
things.
That.
Yeah. So one of the things that happened is sugar. Sugar happened in a big way. And food deserts started to happen, which is that real food was less available for people. And we started working more and more and more so that people were not cooking. There was no time for cooking, right? So
which
we
I think
lost
is baloney. I do. You can cook. It doesn't take that much trouble. But that's just me.
That I feel similarly, but for some people it's a big hurdle to know how. The art has been lost of how to create an easy meal. So, and one thing I'm very, very cautious about is not, you know, blaming or stigmatizing when people are bigger, because that's something we do to ourselves enough. Like,
right.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I can't believe I've gained the weight. I can't believe we trash
yeah,
ourselves
not,
plenty.
Exactly.
Right?
I've been there. When I first, you know, first came to the Deep South, the first thing I did was start eating, because the food is fantastic. First thing I did was pack on about 20 pounds. I went, oh, nope. And, you know, I instantly backtracked that. So I've been there, and it wasn't easy to kind of talk myself out of not eating all these great, new, wonderful foods, or
right.
at least
and,
as much as I was. So, you know, there was a journey there for me as well. But it just
absolutely.
It concerns me that in the last generation or so, people are just getting really big, and they don't look happy to me. You can't be happy when you're packing around that much extra weight. You just
we have a crisis.
Well, yeah, I think so.
We have a crisis. We definitely have a crisis around the quality of food and the amount of sugar. And I do think that, you know, we need to be working with people and how to nourish themselves deeply. But to get back to the question about, like, you know, so what do you do when you want to step into this nourishment model? So one is to go beyond the diet, right? So when I talked about there's a nourishment dynamic, and this is something that I created, this idea that we're given instructions, don't eat this or eat that or this, but it's not enough. You can't just work on the food level. We have to take it deeper to the lifestyle level and to the mindset level. So lifestyle, the food level is, you know, what are you eating? Obviously that's important, but we've all been told what to eat and what not to eat. That's, if that could fix it, we wouldn't be struggling. So we have to take it deeper. So what's the lifestyle? Lifestyle is, where are you getting your food? You know, are you getting it at the corner 7-Eleven, you know, or, you know, 24-hour store that has no fresh food? Or are you buying at the farmer's market? Or are you going down the street to your place and getting fresh shrimp? Like, where are you getting it? And then, how are you eating it? Are you wolfing it down at your desk? Are you sitting down and dining, right? Those are the lifestyle aspects of nourishment. And then we have to get into the mindset, right? Why are we eating? Are we eating to stuff down our feelings? Are we eating because it's frustrating to, you know, be working all the time? Are we eating because we're lonely? Are we eating because we feel bad about ourselves and it's easier just to feel bad about our weight than feel bad about anything else, right? And also in the mindset area is self-criticism, which we do to a tremendous degree. So to make these shifts, we need to be working on the food, lifestyle, and mindset levels. And if you want to get, like, really into some specifics, I have amazing resources, free resources, on my website. And there's actually three that I want to point out. And one will probably pop to you and go, well, that's the one I want. And they're all available on my website. So the first one is, you know, I talked about the quality continuum. There's a video series called, you know, I Know What to Do, But I'm Just Not Doing It. That's available there on ninamandelson.com. There's also, if you really want to be able to start bringing this food, lifestyle, mindset approach to the table with you, I have a very powerful three phrases that I teach that will help you bring so much more mindful and start to connect you to that idea of loving the food that loves you back. And that is, it's called Eat on Purpose. That's also available on my website for totally free. And the other thing, and I know we didn't really have time to get to it, which is that lemonade that you made, I have a wonderful ebook, Green Smoothie ebook. His recipes, so that if you're curious about what you're making, Denise, and want to make something like it, there are some amazing recipes and tips of how to do that on my free green smoothie ebook. So that all that is available.
Oh, I will be grabbing that very definitely. I wanted to ask you, and I know we've only got about, well, maybe a minute and a half, water. How important is water in, you know, maintaining health and helping, you know, just with your diet?
So important. I cannot even stress how important. If you do nothing today, you know, if you do nothing else today, just by listening to us, please go drink a glass of water right now. Like, even in our conversation, and you wouldn't necessarily know it, but I've been slowly sipping through a whole glass of water. We need it.
Okay.
And especially as we age, we need more water. And if you are somebody who drinks alcohol, double the water. For every glass of alcohol, twice as much water. If you're somebody who's a coffee drinker, every glass of coffee, double the amount of water. So if you're drinking one cup of coffee, you're drinking two glasses of water. Having one glass of wine, you're having two glasses of water. Because those things dehydrate you. And everything, every function in our body does better when it's fully hydrated.
Yeah, I'm lucky because I actually love water. It is always my beverage of choice. It always has been. But I actually know people who do not like the taste of water. So what do you tell people that, you know, cucumber slices, lemon, I mean, how do you help them?
It can be cucumber slices, it can be lemon, it can be a few drops of lemon stevia, or there's even vanilla stevia. People now put little bit, it has to be very high quality, but people put a few drops of essential oils, one drop of essential oil into water, peppermint water.
Oh.
Make it tasty.
That's a new one on me. I love water. Yeah, mm-hmm. I actually really like water, but I know a lot of people just don't. Nina, thank you. I mean, we stopped, we're still recording, but we did stop streaming, so we lost the people in the chat room. But they said to tell you thank you. Great information. Nina, thank you so much for being with me here today.
You're so welcome.
It's been fascinating, and I'm going to your website to grab the smoothie book. So listen, tell people, and I know people enjoyed the takeaways as much as I did. You gave a lot of information, and I thank you for that. So tell
people
one more time where they can find you.
Yep. I am at ninamanolson.com, N-I-N-A, Manolson is M-A-N-O-L-S-O-N.com.
Excellent. Well, listen, everybody, the show will be available for download in about an hour, maybe less. You can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Nina Manolson, and I will see you next week. Nina, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Denise. It was an absolute pleasure.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.